Chapter 3, Freefall 2024. Holy guacamole. 2024. I see that you're on, Ben. Okay, good. I see you. Let's make sure that you get in. Okay, let's see you get in. Yeah, good. All right, let's get to the chapter. Chapter 3, Freefall 2024. What is a freefall? In terms of reorganization, here's the definition of Chapter 3. You're out of money, the ride's over, you're losing your stature or your perceived stature in the community, right? Whatever you think is a big deal and whatever you think that is. In truth, all roads of opportunity are quickly drying up or have dried up. As in the example of a proverbial free fall, without really understanding what you're doing or what you've done or meant to do, you've gone and stepped off the 70th floor of the skyscraper, and there's nothing you can do about it. The next stop is the sidewalk, unless God, at this point, is the only solution, can interrupt. Psalm 68:20, our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. This is your only shot by this time, because by this time your very best thinking has you sailing towards the sidewalk below, right? And I'll tell you how you feel about that a little bit later, how you feel about that when you first fall off the building. You feel pretty good about it, but I'll talk about that nutsiness in just a minute. Bankruptcy, broken hearts, shattered feelings, impossible odds. Are second chances possible? A divine interruption prior to catastrophic failure? Is it possible? A second chance? Some technical adjustment in the time-space continuum that can save you, made not by you, rather by an all-powerful, loving God? Well, Scripture has a thought on the matter. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Okay, so what's that tell me? So I had a different look at it. What do I do? I'm in a free fall. By this time, what causes such a problem? I mean, think about it. Before you stepped off the building, didn't we mean to do everything correctly? Aren't we trying? Isn't our heart in the right place? Maybe. You might want to ask yourself, how many times were you told to stop doing it your way? How many times did you nearly escape failure and were somehow miraculously saved, only to ignore correct advice one more time? When did you switch from righteous to something else? When did you switch? Proverbs 24:16. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. But the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. When did you switch from righteous to wicked? Did you ever check your phones and make sure that they're muted? I can hear you. Check your phones. Success is not for the stubborn. It's just not. Second chances are not for time wasters, teetotalers, or amateurs. You were never righteous. You were being saved over and over and over again, and you thought you were doing it. You weren't doing nothing. God was trying to tell you, come on, get with it, but you didn't listen. We're all the same, myself included. Success is not for stubborn. Second chances are not for time wasters, teetotalers, or amateurs. Those people simply disappear, talking the whole time, right? Talking about all manner of important nothing, leading to nothing, to absolutely importantly nothing. Nothing. They talk and talk and talk about nothing. 2 Timothy 3:7, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Oh, it sounds like we're doing so good. It sounds really great, you know, but it. I teach a concept called critical profit. You can't talk about making money. This is what's going to happen. It's going to be big. We're going to do this. We're getting money. We're funded by the bank, blah, blah. All that big talk that leads to nothing. Those who pay attention win. Those who don't, well, they don't. What's the definition of critical profit? My bills are paid and I have $1 left. I've been given my life back for at least one more day and I'm rich. Rich. Not everybody thinks that way. Not everybody thinks that way. More becomes a false god, doesn't it? More, the awesome spirit of the Almighty, I need more, is the solution to all the problems. More! Long story short, we pray to the Lord. Not the Lord of more, the Lord. As it is written in the book, the Lord. And fix what you have before more crams its ugly head into your balance sheet. The Lord. There's four letters in Lord. There's four letters in more. Are they kind of connected? No, they are not. The Lord is Lord, and he'll do what he wants to do. And he loves you. That's the key element. He loves you. Somebody told me yesterday, there's not very many of you Christians left. I'm like, great, God can pay attention to me. He can pay more attention to me. You can't listen to that stuff. Your balance sheet is not who you are. Your relationship with God. Cut back to cash positive for all that he's given you. Cut back to cash positive. Stay inside the box of what has been given. Paul has a thought on the matter. Philippians 4:11. I'm not saying this because I'm in need. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. And I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Let's set the second chance to the side for a moment, okay? Let's just focus on free fall. How do we get into a free fall? Well, I got three reasons. I'm sure there's more. One, fear of not having enough, like we're talking about, borrowing against perceived benefit. Perceived is the operative word here, a concept of borrowing money when you can't pay the bills in the first place. How do you think you're going to end up? If you can't pay the bills in the first place, how are you going to pay the bills and the money you borrowed? Foreclosure is a verb, kids. It's not a concept. It's a verb, isn't it? That's number one, fear. Fear of not having enough. So you borrow to get more, so that you can not pay for what you have and now not pay for more, right? Number one. Number two, jack-in-the-box behavior. I got another word for it, but it costs me $35 every time I say a bad word because I got kids in the house, so I got a jar for bad words. I think that's how my wife bought a car. Jack-in-the-box behavior. Alienating all those around you, throwing care to the wind, incorrect personnel. Jack-in-the-box behavior. Alienating all those around you. Throwing care to the wind, hiring incorrect personnel, your friends, business, bookkeeping, accounting, sales, quality control, production, thumbing one's nose at qualified people in those areas. Again, throwing care to the wind, envisioning oneself as amazing, awe-inspiring, I'm different than all the rest, the rules don't apply, and so on. You may think, I don't think like that. Yeah, you do. We've all thought like that. And there is inevitable trouble, the kind that is unavoidable. When you agree to the opposite of right, when you agree to the opposite of the map of the instructions, when you discard the instructions, direction is lost. Period. So number two, jack-in-the-box behavior. Fully yourself, jack-in-the-box behavior, not able to take direction. Number one, fear of not having enough. Number three, lack of discernment. In all areas of your life. Loss of critical analysis of the people around you. Ultimately, there's no resources left in this situation. Those people around you, when you figure out that you have the wrong people around you, your resources by that time are already spent, and they're gone. People, places, and things that had been given to you, spent. People, places, and things that were given to you to run your business by an awe-inspiring God, even though you think you got it. No, I put this all together. You didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. God did all this. If you believe that, you got a shot. If you don't believe that, you ain't got a shot. Because if you are the end-all, be-all, we're all in a mess, a world of trouble. Lack of discernment, the Holy Spirit, wisdom. Is discernment. Lack of discernment, lack of the Holy Spirit, lack of God, you will wake up one day and all that was given to you is spent. You laughed at everything. You laughed at the rules. You laughed at direction. You laughed at it, discarded it. Life without wisdom, direct road to free fall, chapter 3. Am I right? Right. Proverbs 4, the beginning of wisdom is this, wisdom, though it costs all you have, get understanding. Well, if that's not enough for you, Proverbs 3:15, she, meaning Proverbs. Isn't that crazy? Proverbs and Proverbs. Wisdom is referred to as she. Ooh, that's kind of scary for guys, isn't it? Ooh, it's kind of scary. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. Wow. That sounds pretty cool. Great, then do it. Free will is the mother of free fall. I'll say it again, brothers and sisters. Free will is the mother of free fall. Foolishness, nonsense, it costs money, time, energy, and ultimately it costs everything and anything worthy. Lack of faith in God, you might think? Question mark. Lack of faith is all this lack of faith. Pat talks about that a lot. Lack of faith in God, you might think? Well, it's worse than that. It's worse than lack of faith. Conscious choice is the culprit. Conscious choice. Conscious choice is the culprit. A decision made by a person to remove God from the equation. I got it from here. Long story short, change your mind quick before life support is necessary. Oh, and by the way, taking God out of the equation does not mean that does not mean that in the mind of an idiot, we don't use God's name to validate the stupid things we're doing. We can take God out of the equation and still name God that God's telling me to do it. And God's not in the equation at all. God doesn't have anything to do with it. And we're talking like God told me to do it this morning. I had a fax. I got an email from God's door and it said to do it, everything I want to do. She doesn't know what's going on. He doesn't know. Nobody knows. It's me and God. God sent me the fax today. I hear it all the time. In the mind of an idiot, God's name can validate every stupid thing we're doing. If there's any piece of God left in me at that time, I best pray that it wakes up in me. I wake up to it. It's there. I wake up that it's there before I hit the sidewalk in this proverbial free fall. Remember, free will is the mother of free fall. Free will is the mother of free fall. You're not a victim of anything. You drove yourself off the top of that ledge. Perhaps this scripture is something you might be used in times of distress. I'll have a solution. Don't worry, kids. There's light at the end of the tunnel. Mark 9, 23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Now that is me and you. I believe, but sometimes I'm scared. What did Jesus say? This was a father who was asking Jesus, please help my kid. Help my kid. Free my kid from the spirit. Jesus said, hey, man, if you believe, all things are possible. And he said, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief. And Jesus did. He helped him with his faith. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to a deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. The boy was healed. Wow. Awesome. How much faith does it take to save my life? By the way, I'm not sure if that was a boy or a girl. Not sure. Mark 9, 23, 25. The point is, in faith, all things are possible. Everything is possible in God. How much faith does it take to save my life? Good question. How much faith? Well, by the time I get here, probably a lot, right? Matthew 17, 20, B. If you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say this to the mountain. Move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing, nothing will be impossible for you. Wow. Faith in who? That's the key element. Faith in God, not you. Faith in God. The problem is wasting time, whether it be a second chance or any chance. Sometimes the time wasted is the end of time for a person, right? Wasting time trying to figure out how to do it. I can figure it out. Wasting time sometimes costs everything. And sometimes it costs people their life. I'm reminded of a rich man in Scripture who in the end died before he realized the need, that he even needed a second chance to be a good, righteous man. He didn't even realize it, or maybe he did and he didn't care. I don't know. A man of royalty, he walked into the palace every morning. On his way every day, he could have helped a man named Lazarus, not the one that rose from the dead. This is a different one. I think back in the day, Lazarus was like Bob or Ralph, Ted. I think Lazarus was a regular name. This is just a guy named Lazarus. He was sickly, poor, and in need. He laid by the gates of the city and waited every day, begging and hoping for a handout of anything that could help. And the rich man walked past him daily, ignoring Lazarus. Did the rich man wait too long to help? No, he did not. He didn't wait too long. It was a conscious decision not to try. He saw him every day. And then time ran out for the rich man. Time ran out. A no-return ticket delivered personally by Chapter 3, Free Fall. Did he hit the sidewalk? I'm afraid he did. A rich man finds himself in hell, sitting on the other side of a great chasm. Abraham is on the other side with Lazarus in heaven. And on the in between them, a great chasm that they can't cross. Luke 16:25, Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony." Yeah, that's pretty scary about that chapter 3, people there. That's pretty scary. I'd say it's pretty scary, right? Can you love God and still do things absolutely wrong? Ask Judas, Samson, David, Solomon. All of them loved God and failed. Were they all redeemed? Well, possibly Samson and David. I'm not too sure about Solomon. I'm pretty sure Judas didn't get any help. How about the other examples? How about the example of people in the year 2024 on planet Earth? It would appear to me the whole human race has less than a few minutes to make a decision before a free fall. But at the moment, free will is prevailing, and not in a good way. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Yeah, look at the news, what's going on in our presidential election as it comes up. Not groovy. Not groovy. 1 Timothy 4:1, scary stuff. Look, to clear it up, if we're using a 79-story building as an example, the step off the top is magnificent. Remember I tell you, you think it's pretty groovy when you first step off the building? You're not scared. People jump off that building, they think they're doing the right thing. Why, it's a new glorious world of opportunity. The view is superb, the air is crisp and comfortable. Why, it's exciting. A bit of a breeze, perhaps even the perceived cheers of others as one is passing the 50th floor. And then the realization kicks in. Another one bites the dust. Common sense is not so common. And stupid is very, very expensive. More and more, I say stupid seems to be the norm. And all of us, more often than I'd like to admit, finding ourselves fighting for our right to be stupid and another shot at free fall. Oh, it's scary the way we can be. All of us can be that. I'm not talking up or down. I'm talking right to you because I am you. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Don't just say, well, I read the word. I'm doing good. Blah, blah, blah. I got a fax from God. He told me to jump off the building. Come on. Don't merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Proverbs 26:12, do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Oh, baby. Let the good times roll. Oh, whoa, that is a big one. See somebody who thinks they're wise in their own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. Origin of failure, I call it. Kind of a not-so-cool description of you and your friends when you decide what is good and honorable, but it's not. You decide what you're doing is totally cool, totally great, but it's not. That's the origin of failure. That last little turn that sends you towards the abyss. And by the way, at that point, a traveler doesn't want to ask the correct teacher. Me or you, if we're in that headspace headed for the building, we don't want a correct teacher anymore. No. Not anymore. We're directed. We're large and in charge. If this is you, stop immediately. But it's not you. You're on the phone today. Accepting point negatives, that's also a little term I used. Origin of failure, point negatives, a little term I used to describe one bad decision after the next. Doing one more petty little thing, one more treacherous, disobedient act, or stupid maneuver in the name of I got this when you don't got this. You put a bunch of little point negatives together, you'll make a left at origin of failure, and you are headed for the building in the 79th floor, Proverbs 27. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Wow. You know that thing people got? I got a good feeling about this. That's a super not good sentence. Every time I hear that, it's a super not good sentence. Paul the Apostle says it best. Romans 7:15, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Ha! Ha! Oh, goodness, isn't that all of us? For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Will God help? Yes! He will help. In Matthew chapter 12, it says, a bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. A reed is a fairly fragile plant. They put it on horns, you know, so the horn makes a reed. And it says here in Scripture that God will handle it so gently and not break it, nursing it back from the glorious to the glorious sound of an instrument, nursing it back. Fairly fragile, if it falls, a reed he will not break. He'll nurse it back. Flax? What's flax? Flax is used as a wick for an oil lamp. God will not quench it into extinguishing. Rather, he will patiently fan it to a glorious candle flame. So when you're going out, the Father puts it back in. Jesus is right there. That's me and you, man. Damaged reed, damaged flax, but in the Lord, glorious return to health. Why, what do you have to do for this? What's in it? What's in it for him? You are in it for him. If you're on this phone, you're already in the second chance. Use it. Pray about it. Stay on course. Don't argue the point. Don't be stubborn. Do what is requested. Thank God that he is with you and be grateful for the ride. The good days and the not good days. Let me say that again. If you're on this phone, you're in the second chance right now. Use it. Pray about it. Stay on course. Don't argue the point. Don't be stubborn. Don't do what is requested. Thank God that he is with you and be grateful for this rugged, tough ride. It will get better. This could be the very thing that God uses you for. In your overcoming of this, he could use this, your testimony, to bring hope to the hopeless. You don't know what he's going to do with you. But if you work for God, he will cover your needs. He promises that and he never lies. Stay the course, do the work. Don't let the devil turn you into any kind of doofus. Hey, you know, I got a better idea for you. You don't need to put up with this guy or anybody else. Hey, you know what I mean? You're your own guy. You're your own man, your own woman. Step up to the plate. You don't need to listen to these guys. That's all very not good conversation. Does not pay well. As a closing statement, all of you understand the ebb and flow of business. Sometimes you got a lot, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's scary. That's life. We learn how to limit that a little bit. I'll tell you in a minute, but it does get better. Perceived, get it? Perceived, Bennett. Free fall is caused by a decision to replace faith with perceived benefit. Perceived, get it? Free fall is caused by a decision, your decision to replace faith with perceived benefit. Perceived is in your head, not in your heart, not in God's heart for you. There is no loan that can replace God's plan, no person who can bail you out. God is the voice of reason for the season. God is the voice of reason for any season. If you stay long enough on this path, the mad, manic up and downs of business evens out. If, of course, you don't, well, you'll jump. Period. Chapter 3, free fall. Know it, understand it, respect it, walk the straight and narrow path. Walk the straight and narrow path. It says about the gates that it is narrow. Take the narrow gate. It ain't easy, but it's a heck of a lot better than the wide freeways on the way to everything bad. Matthew 22:14. Dig this, kids, and then it's time to get to work. For many are called. Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Wake up, sunshine. Ooh, it's good. Do you remember that song? Ooh, it's good to be back here with you. Ooh. Wake up, man. Don't let free fall be your choice. Oh, Lord, I pray, if this be me, get my head back in the game. If this be my friends on the phone, oh, Lord, I pray, get my friends back in the game. I pray to you, Jesus. In the holy name of our Lord, amen. John, let's boogie, buddy. Ha ha ha.